Welcome to episode 59 of Gary King's Inconvenient Truths, where Gary presents videos and stories I don't know are coming from my spontaneous and unrehearsed response, which has proven to be remarkably popular. Gary, what have you got for me today?
Who would have known in the beginning that it would be popular like this? Now, I'd also like to thank all the guys at 153 News. I get quite a few clips from there. They have great creators there. And also the other people that send them to me. We get some on BitChute. So thank you to everyone who helps send the clips, all right? Okay, we're going to start off with a clip that I pulled from 153 You just last night. And this guy's decided to identify as a white
Recently,
person.
I was accused of wanting to be white by some leftist in my comment section. Hey, it's 2023, and I can identify how I want to identify if I choose to do so. And today, I'm going to use your leftist logic against you. I was born as a black man, but I'm coming out today as a transracial white man. I've known from the time that I was a child that I was born with the wrong skin pigmentation. I was even teased as a child and was told that I wanted to be white. Why? Because I exercised independent critical thinking versus groupthink and herd conformity. I listened to the Oak Ridge Boys, I loved the Beach Boys, and preferred auto racing over football and basketball. Now, instead of shooting hoops at the park, I preferred being out in the wilderness with my four-wheeler and my rifle. I found myself greeting complete strangers with a smile instead of mean mugging them with a head tilt. As a teenager, I wore a belt with my trousers. As an adult, I actually waited until I got married to have all of my children by the same woman. I don't see myself as a victim. How can I when my parents instilled in me the spirit of entrepreneurship and freedom through doing such? As a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't go voting for a party with policies that are diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Bible that I was raised on. I'm a white man, and I can't be black just because you want me to be. I would not know how to subtract myself from all logic and reason. I have enough discipline to not react from my emotions without the benefit of intellect. I am whatever you say I am. And today I am Ricky Manor of the Melanated Rebel News Network. Please be sure to share this video, hit that like button, subscribe button, and hit that bell notification so you know when I go live or when I upload new content.
All right, Dr. Fetzer.
Gary, that's just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it. Talk about, you know, inverting and lampooning the absurd Democrat woke agenda where a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. I mean, this is brilliant. If you're black, you can declare yourself to be white. If you're white, black, I love it, Gary. This is sensational. I applaud him. Penetrating, witty, insightful, devastating.
Yeah.
Five stars.
Yeah, got it all. Okay. All right, now we're going to have congestion pricing coming up on our show.
So it begins. New York City will be the first city in America to charge Americans just to go to work in the morning.
Very first state in the nation, the very first city in America to have a congestion pricing plan.
Americans will have to pay around $23 per day.
Passenger vehicles would be charged $15 to enter the congestion zone, trucks between $24 and $36 depending on size, and motorcycles $7.50. Those tolls would be charged once per day and would be in effect between 5 a.m. and 9 p.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on weekends. Fees.
The proposal aims to reduce traffic congestion, but people are mad because the city eliminated working from home that actually reduced traffic while saving gas money and reducing greenhouse emissions. But what do you think about this new bill? Is it going to help the environment or hurt the pockets of New Yorkers? And which city is next? The board has two meetings before the end of 2023 on December 6 and December 20. So if you think the fees are high, write in the comments below.
All right, congestion pricing.
Never underestimate the breathtaking stupidity of Democrats, Gary. I mean, working from home is so sensational. It's really made a difference. It's cut down the overhead for a lot of companies. No longer have to rent office space where they can all be together. They actually function from their distributed network as effectively or even more than they have in the past. the idea of charging when you're a taxpayer and you're paying for city services to go into a congested area. Unbelievable, Gary. Let me make a further note. This is on TikTok. We get a lot of complaints about TikTok, but so far as I can tell, even though it's Chinese-owned, it is willing to present stories that our mainstream media, which is not Chinese-owned, but rather has a different controlling source, are unwilling to present. So I got to say, I like the story. I like TikTok. And what we're seeing here is just one more indication that the Democrats not only have lost their way, but it's so hopeless, I don't see how they're ever going to be able to regain it.
Yeah, there's a lot more truth on TikTok than YouTube, that's for sure. Okay, on to the next thing. We've got illegal alien soldiers coming up.
This is a look inside of an American politician's brain. It may look like there is an abundance of productive activity, but the following statement in the U.S. Senate proves otherwise.
About the debate now about the southern border is it is one half of the immigration equation. Yes, we need order at the border. Yes, we need to have changes in the laws that reflect the reality of the overwhelming numbers from all over the world who are coming to our shores and our border. But there's also an incredible demand for legal immigration into this country even now. The presiding officer, my colleague from the state of Illinois, has legislation which addresses one aspect of that. Her bill, and I hope I describe it accurately, says that if you're an undocumented person in this country and you can pass the physical and the required test, background test, the like, you can serve in our military, and if you do it honorably, we will make you citizens of the United States. Do we need that? Do you know what the recruiting numbers are at the Army and the Navy and the Air Force? They can't reach their quotas each month. They can't find enough people to join our military forces. And there are those who are undocumented who want the chance to serve and risk their lives for this country. Should we give them the chance? I think we should.
Well, given the massive numbers of young military and I think actually already trained Chinese, what Dick Durbin is proposing there is basically turn the armed forces of America over to communist China. And if you think that's a good idea, then you're probably voting for Joe Biden. This is another form of treason by the Democrats. The open borders are disgusting enough. We now have reports that when they process or being registered to vote Democrat, they're providing low-wage workers, but more so, they're being given huge benefits. A sheriff has reported they're getting $5,000 gift cards, $2,200 stipends per month. They're given food, they're given shelter, they're given green cards. They're destroying the hardworking legals who have come here before them because they're undercutting their jobs. And the fact is that we can't make our recruiting standards because our military has gone woke. What red-blooded young patriotic man wants to be taking showers with a tranny? It's outrageous, Gary. This is not a solution. In fact, I am forced to conclude this is one more form of treason by a prominent Democrat politician in the service of another nation, not America. You can count on that.
All right, this next clip, I actually was speaking at JFK conference a few years back, right before you spoke, and I brought this up, and it seemed like they wanted to throw things at me. However, it's the truth. Now, if you go out and you try to find a picture of John F. Kennedy with Henry Kissinger, you will not find it. However, if you look at all the presidents past that, and I'd like to put a feather in my hat, this is yours truly playing acoustic guitar on the track. I put this together last night. that gang there. Okay.
Wow. Stunning, Gary Joe, stunning. What you're telling me, of course, what this is depicting pictorially is this man who turned out to be a mass murderer, responsible in all probability for as many deaths as Stalin or Hitler or Mao or Pol Pot, Henry Kissinger, on behalf of the good old USA, promoting the domino theory in Vietnam, the domino theory in the Middle East, the domino theory in Eastern Europe. I mean, this is a miscreant for all ages, and it would have been virtually all presidents. Honestly, I don't believe Donald Trump is affected by Henry Kissinger, and in my judgment, the world is better off for his passing, as they call it. Yes, passing indeed.
All right, this would be the final thing we have for Henry Kissinger here. It's might cut it a little short. It's about 3.5 minutes, but...
Dude. I never like to miss a chance to confront Henry Kissinger, and I don't get that many, because when he knows I'm coming, or when he knows I'm going to be in the area, up till now he has cancelled, that's 4 times now this year. What I yearn for is the chance for some quality time with him. He refused to answer any questions when the Harper's articles were being written, but I do want to confront him and to make him realize that we're not going to stop asking.
In early 2001, author Christopher Hitchens published The Trial of Henry Kissinger. First released as 2 articles in Harper's Magazine, the book accuses the former Secretary of State of war crimes and crimes against humanity and asks for a formal legal inquiry.
The statement Henry Kissinger is a war criminal is a statement I've been making for many years. It's now not a piece of rhetoric, not a metaphor, it's a job description.
Across the U.S., Hitchens' improbable crusade attracted interest. With a pen for a lance, he was tilting at the windmill of Kissinger's reputation.
Christopher Hitchens, as you no doubt know, is out with a new book called The Trial of Henry A. Kissinger. It is very rough on you. It is a book devoted to criticism of you.
I'm not going to deal with Christopher Hitchens. He's a man who's attacked Mother Teresa, Jackie Kennedy. He said the Holocaust never existed. And I'm not going to do him the favor of getting into a debate with him.
I can't have it said that I'm an anti-Semite or a Nazi sympathizer. That, I'm sorry, is too much. It crosses my line. And Dr. Kissinger by now will have heard, I think, from my lawyers that he's to cease and desist from saying what he knows to be false.
I haven't read his book. I frankly was so disgusted by his magazine piece. Look at this guy's background. Sewer pipe sucker. He sucks the sewer pipe.
I was not concerned that Kissinger would sue Harper's Magazine, because then he, Kissinger, would have to go to some form of legal disclosure. I mean, if you accuse the magazine or you accuse Hitchens of libel, then that allows our lawyers to ask questions and subpoena documents and try to establish the truth of the matter, and that is not something I think that Kissinger would welcome.
Kissinger's admirers point to his impact as a global strategist. During the Cold War era, he saw international diplomacy as a grand game of finding the right balance between opposing superpowers.
I think that Kissinger's greatest accomplishment was a triangular diplomacy in which he was able to balance China off against the Soviet Union and have America retain a role in the world after Vietnam, when it would have been natural for us to retreat.
Kissinger's critics charge that his worldview blinded him to the human cost of the Cold War. Recently released documents reveal episodes in Indochina, Indonesia, and Chile, where Kissinger may have needlessly sacrificed human lives to pursue strategic goals.
That this man could operate at such a horrible level and not get exposed for year after year after year after year, how many people came out against him, is an embarrassment to my profession. I gotta tell you, the dark side of Henry Kissinger is very, very dark.
Okay, Dr. Professor.
Seymour Hersh has got it right. The dark side of Henry Kissinger is very, very dark. And if you put Christopher Hitchens on and Seymour Hersh on one side, and then Haig, Alexander Haig, and other miscreants on the other, it's no contest. I find it especially interesting that Kissinger would cite, as though it were a negative, that Hitchens is a Holocaust denier, because I've done the research. Anyone who has actually studied the matter is either a Holocaust denier or a big fat liar. And that, of course, fits Henry Kissinger to a T. Gary, very nice clip confirming my observation of his role as a war criminal of a mega variety.
Yes, the ultimate Zionist, Henry Kissinger. May he not rest in peace. All right, we had an anniversary recently.
On December 7th, 1941, the Imperial Japanese Navy Air Service struck Pearl Harbor on the island of Oahu in the then U.S. territory of Hawaii, where over 3,000 Americans were killed and wounded, and the United States was obliged to enter the theater of World War II, declaring war against Japan, Germany, and Italy in the same week. But was this attack on the U.S. an accident? A failure of American intelligence? A brilliant military coup? At first, a panel created by FDR concluded that we had no advanced warning and should blame only local commanders for the lack of preparedness. However, according to author Robert S. Stinnett in his book Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor, the attack was the result of a carefully orchestrated design, initiated at the highest levels of the U.S. government, to motivate Americans to support another massive foreign war. He uses over 200,000 documents and interviews obtained through the Freedom of Information Act to lay out how, under Franklin Delano Roosevelt's leadership, the heads of the United States military would first provoke, then stand down and allow an attack to take place, absorbing the first strike from Japan, an overt act of war. This justified the United States' entrance into World War II against the Axis powers to serve British interests in Europe and around the world. On October 7th, 1940, Lieutenant Commander Arthur H. McCollum sent a memo to two of Roosevelt's most trusted military advisors, which laid out eight steps that he predicted would precipitate a Japanese attack on the United States. These eight steps included using British and Dutch bases in the Pacific, aiding the Chinese government's fight with Japan, sending a division of long-range heavy cruisers and submarines into or adjacent to territorial waters of Japan, keeping the main strength of the U.S. fleet in the Hawaiian Islands, and completely embargoing all trade with Japan, just as the British Empire had already done. The day after this memo was sent to FDR's advisors, the State Department told Americans to evacuate Far East countries as quickly as possible in preparation for conflict, and Roosevelt ordered the U.S. fleet to stay in Hawaiian waters, which had already been there for an annual training exercise. Admiral James O. Richardson objected to keeping the fleet in Hawaii, citing a lack of training facilities, ammunition, fuel, and support craft. Quote, "There was no logical reason for me to make such a request," but he reluctantly obeyed the orders from Roosevelt and his military chiefs. FDR personally took charge of sending heavy cruisers near Japan's territorial waters, saying, quote, "I just want them to keep popping up here and there and keep the Japs guessing. I don't mind losing one or two cruisers, but do not take a chance on losing five or six." The Pacific Fleet commander objected to this strategy, retorting, quote, "It is ill-advised and will result in war if we make this move." However, this is exactly what FDR wanted to do. Admiral Richardson quotes Roosevelt as saying, quote, "Sooner or later, the Japanese would commit an overt act against the United States, and the nation would be willing to enter the war." During his campaign for the new term of his presidency, FDR promised voters, quote, "Your boys are not going to be sent into any foreign wars." But according to his biographer, he told members of his staff, quote, "Of course we'll fight if we're attacked. If someone attacks us, then it isn't a foreign war, is it?"
Okay.
Well, that's a wonderful clip. I have Stinnett's book. Absolutely. We also deprived Japan of access to oil in the South Pacific. I mean, they were really boxed in by these efforts and had no real viable alternative other than to attack at Pearl Harbor. So it was because it was provoked by the United States, it was not a spontaneous action of Japan, but a reaction to many measures we had taken that were deliberately provocative and could be regarded as covert act of war. So FDR felt he had to do something dramatic to overcome the isolationism that prevailed in the United States at the time, and a lack of desire to become involved in any foreign entanglement. FDR believed that we had to come to the aid of the European nations in relation to the Third Reich in Europe, and that Japan would eventually emerge as an enemy, and that it would be therefore desirable to provoke an attack by Japan that could be used as the explanation to the public for our entry into these foreign wars that he declared we would not engage in. Historians can debate endlessly whether FDI was right or wrong, but there can be no doubt that it was a day of deceit, and that FDR manipulated the public by bringing about these actions to not just let them happen, but in effect, make them happen. Very nice clip, Gary. Quite penetrating and accurate in every respect.
Okay. Can you guess what the problem is?
Canada, that's okay. One?
Yeah.
Arkansas?
Sure. Arkansas? Yep, one more.
Sure. I need help.
Is it?
I know.
Sure.
North Carolina?
North Carolina, yes, you got it right. Congrats. Okay, nice job. Now, can you tell me, how many dimes makes a dollar? Twenty. Final answer. What do you think? It's 20. No, you got it right. It's 20.
Okay.
Great. You're 2 for 2. All right. So when I tell you it's 2:15, what time is it?
4.
4 o'clock. Okay. Okay, last question, because you got 3 right. Can you name 3 Kardashian sisters?
Chloe, Kim, Kendall. Yeah.
Do you see exactly what the fuck I'm talking about? Do you see what the agenda is? Are you woken up now? Do you get it?
All right.
Oh, very nice. How many dimes did it take to make a dollar? What time is it if it's 2:15? Devastating, Gary. The ignorance that it prevails in the United States is simply overwhelming. There are numerous shows. I think Greg Gutfeld likes to do this. They go out, have people interview about questions that are just as obvious as this and find stupefying, incredibly dumb answers. The dumbing down of America that Charlotte Isserby warned us is well upon us, and it's contributing to the collapse of what was once a great nation. I'm sorry to say, Gary, we're far down the peg now. We're no better than a third world nation or a banana republic today, and frankly, our citizens are just not equal to the task. Very sad, very tragic, and I gotta tell you, politically, it's been generated by Democrat policy because they think people are interchangeable parts, that we all have equal physical and mental abilities, that we're all, you know, capable of fulfilling any role we want, just like black and white, boy and girl. It's absurd, Gary, but that's where we are today with the modern Democrat Party, which has gone stark raving mad.
I agree with that. Well, it's a little bit about education right here.
It pays to be ignorant.
Between 1896 and 1920, a small number of powerful industrialists, together with their private foundations, spent more money on mass force schooling than the government did. Indeed, Andrew Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller together spent more money than the government did on schooling. If you want to know the motives of this project, you need only read the first public mission statement of Rockefeller's General Education Board that was printed in its first report to well-wishers, issued in 1906. People yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hands. The present education conventions of intellectual and character education fade from their minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our own will. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or men of science. We have not to raise up from them authors, educators, poets, men of letters. We shall not search for artists, painters, musicians, lawyers, doctors, preachers, politicians, statesmen, of which we have an ample supply. The task is simple. We will organize children and teach them in a perfect way the things their fathers and mothers are doing in an imperfect way. The real purpose of modern schooling was announced by Edward Ross of the University of Wisconsin in the same year that was written. Ross is generally considered one of the three founders of the 20th century discipline called sociology. And in a book bluntly called Social Control, Ross wrote, I'll quote directly, "Plans are underway to replace family, church, and community with propaganda, education, and mass media. People," he informed his readers, "are only little plastic lumps of dough." Another insider of modern schooling, H.H. Goddard, chairman of the psychology department at Princeton, called government schooling in 1920, quote, "the perfect organization of the hive." Goddard wrote that standardized testing was to cause the lower classes to confront their biological inferiority, sort of like wearing a dunce cap.
Okay.
Gary, that's profoundly disturbing, the idea that these great philanthropists like Carnegie and Rockefeller really were trying to find a medium of mass social control through public education. Frankly, it's appalling. I don't know that they quite succeed. I do agree that for the most part, high schools are not designed to develop critical thinking. If you're lucky and you go to an institution of higher learning and you happen to have the right faculty, you might actually acquire the ability to think things through. But it's something that I'm sorry to say is sorely missed within society today, and it may well be that public education, alas, has been a major contributor to create a conveyor belt of homogeneous minds that are all inclined to believe the same things at the same time, even in the absence of evidence, therefore, or in the presence of contradictory proof. So this is a disturbing report, Gary. There's nothing superficial about this issue, and I'm sorry to say as we know from the stupendous failure of public education in terms of actually instilling knowledge, even of elementary facts, that it appears to be all too successful, sad to say.
I agree. Okay, next up, a little COVID clip. Flu shot clip.
Health Canada says the best way to avoid the flu is vaccination, which in many provinces is free. Well, let's see if these recent flu shot recipients can help reveal the mystery of why Cheetos and Pop-Tarts list their ingredients while vaccines do their best not to.
Are you aware of the ingredients in the vaccine?
I know there's some egg products.
I don't think they offered us a list of ingredients, though.
That, no, I don't know. This is blind faith for me. But did you know that there's mercury in that shot?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I did not, no.
Are you glad that it's free?
Yes.
But you know it's not really free.
Yes.
Well, it's paying through our taxes, right? So,
if I sneeze right now, would you be okay with that?
No.
Well, these people confirmed two things. Some are happy to wait in line for a secret serum, and nobody likes getting sneezed on. But what if drug companies are right? What if tricking your body into thinking it's already sick doesn't make you sick? What if there's not enough vaccine to go around? You should know that making your own is easier than brewing your own beer. And it could save your life. Well, the first thing you need is a live virus. Now, is there anyone here suffering from the flu? Sir, would you favor us by discharging directly onto these chicken embryos?
Anything I can do to help.
Okay. We now have our chicken embryos and our live virus. Now, from the pickled frog jar at your local school's biology class, we'll keep that virus dead like the drug companies do with formaldehyde. Now, careful, don't get any frog in the mix. That'd be gross. Now, let's add a little ether. Careful, don't fall asleep. And then we dump some detergent in there. That keeps it clean. And remember when your mother lost her mind when you played with mercury because it never leaves your body? Well, that makes it a great preservative. If you have a thermometer... Well, staying healthy is a lot more important than room temperature. Now, all of this goes into the centrifuge, like this blender, and... Hey, hey, hey! It's vaccine for the whole family. Well, the debate over whether vaccines usually don't work or aren't fully safe may never end, which at least explains why the contents are rarely publicized.
I'm fine. I'm just
But it's government recommended. Oh, well, that's my eye on the flu shot.
Very, very good. And really basically correct. They had to make it an emergency use authorization because otherwise they'd have to list the ingredients. And once you knew what was in the shot, you'd never take it, ever. So they had to demonize HCQ and ivermectin, which were cheap and readily available and proven with virtually, so far as I can tell, no side effects. I've taken them both. But they had to be demonized because if there were a readily available alternative, then emergency use could not be authorized. So you had the big-time liars at the CDC and the NIH and the FDA come out and describe, say, ivermectin as horse paste because it's actually used to kill parasites in horses, but which does not mean it's not useful for you. After all, we're animals too. So I went on a massive campaign led, of course, by none other than the grandfatherish, but actually satanic Anthony, Tony the Rat, Fauci, and Gary, the rest is history. By my best calculation, over 1 billion human beings have died from the vax worldwide. So in terms of the agenda to reduce the world's population, it's been a stunning success. And Pfizer, Moderna, they're making money hand over fist by telling products that kill with the aid and support of the American government, which is subsidizing this genocide, not only of the American people, but of the entire world population. Gary, it's as disgusting as it gets. I'm glad you showed this because it makes very telling points in a humorous fashion. Well done.
You got it. All right, here's our Maui girl.
Fast as I can. I'm a flight attendant. I'm in Maui. I got picked up by my shuttle driver to go to the hotel earlier, and he was just explaining all the tragic events, obviously, that have happened this week in Maui with the fires. He was saying that the news isn't even covering the gifs of it, and that the news has only confirmed 103 bodies dead as of today, and they have already confirmed here on the island of Maui that over 480 people have been confirmed dead. They're only 13% through the town of Lahaina with going through the houses to find the dead bodies. He is volunteering his time going into the homes to collect the bodies. He works part-time at the morgue. And he is just, the stories he told me, you guys, of what he saw and what he witnessed during that time is absolutely gut-wrenching. He found so many children and moms holding each other, infants, toddlers, the unimaginable, husbands and wives, whole entire family members in a room just huddling together, burning to death. He's collecting, it's all bones, so he's grabbing the bones with the ash, shoveling them into body bags. They have no more room on the island in the morgue, so they are shipping in containers to hold these body bags. People were running into the ocean to escape the flames. The flames came so fast, burnt all the boats and went over the surface level of the ocean and was just burning people left and right. People were burning in their cars. I mean, this is absolutely tragic, and the news hasn't even come close to covering what's really going on here on the island of Maui. The link to donate is in my bio. Please don't donate to Red Cross or FEMA. More information is below.
What a babe. And delivering an important message, Gary. I mean, she's absolutely right. I mean, the whole thing was a monster scandal. It's very obvious to anyone who's paid any attention. This was done with directed energy weaponry. They'd already surveyed all the homes. They had the program with a computer to take out all and only the homes that were not of the rich and the famous or the prominent political figures on the island. It's a complete and utter disgrace. So I think she's delivering an important message in a very imposing package.
Yeah, and looking good doing it. All right. Is it possible there were cell phones 100 years ago?
This is in the early 1900s. And what you are seeing here is one of the first mobile phones. Again, we had to wait over 100 years for our versions that we have today. The controllers, or the governments of the world, wanted to make sure they could listen in first before they made this technology readily available to the public.
Think of that one, Dr. Fetzer.
I think that's fascinating, Gary. I do work on cultural evolution versus genetic evolution. And while genetic evolution is slow but steady, you might call it, cultural evolution can proceed at the speed of light, really, as rapidly as ideas can be transmitted. Fads, fashions can change, whether it's music or beliefs via news, which means that historically, among the most important developments in all of human existence have been mechanism for the communication of information, including the Gutenberg press, to produce books. The telephone, of course, originally wired telephone and telegraph as well, but then the radio, succeeded by television, and today, of course, a cell phone. I think that kids today would forfeit anything except for their cell phones, that it's made the most profound impact of any technological innovation in world history. And I wish I could say it was all for the good, because I'm relatively convinced that when you're on your cell phone, you're constantly communicating with a relatively small circle of friends. You're not interacting with others in society as you would in a grocery store or a library or other places, because you're on your phone. And that leads to a kind of atomization of society, little cliques all over the place, you know, your cell phone correspondence, as it were. And while it's also true that we have the emergence of Facebook and Twitter, Google, the internet generally, which has tremendous benefits, especially in getting alternative sources of news, communicating stories that the government or the mainstream want to suppress, it also has come at a cost. So, I mean, the historians, sociologists, demographers of the future will be recounting these developments and the profundity of their impact upon our lives, Gary. I only wish it were all for the good, but I regret to say it doesn't look that way.
My grandchildren who came over for Thanksgiving, that's all they wanted to do. And if you took it away from them, you better watch out. All right, how about this app on your phone?
Okay, so you can talk to Pam in a minute, but when I approach you, you need to talk to me, okay?
So instead, the next time you're stopped by police, shut up, push the button, and let us handle the incident. Introducing Attorney Shield. An app that combines recorded video with the presence of an on-demand licensed attorney. For less than $5 a month, your membership gets you 24/7 access to attorneys who are specifically trained and certified to support you during a police-initiated interaction. When you open the app, the homepage has a large red button. Just tap it, and in under 30 seconds, you'll be connected to a video call with our staff attorneys. Your phone will record what it sees and the call itself, as the officer is face-to-face with your legal support. Traffic stops last an average of 12 minutes, so we made the first 30 minutes of the connection free, and there are no limitations to how many times you need it. This can change how traffic stops are handled across the U.S. Too often, I've covered incidents that show a person refusing to get out of their vehicle, agreeing to perform sobriety tests that aren't required and only hurt them, or accidentally admitting something while arguing with the officer. But you won't have to fall victim to any of that with Attorney Shield. You could use it for immigration issues, car accidents, domestic calls, or any other time that an officer initiates contact with you. Recently, concealed carry insurance providers have come under fire because people started to realize that an insurance company can't cover a criminal act. Instead, their members are sent a worthless card or pamphlet that tells them what to do and what to tell police after a self-defense use of force. But an officer isn't going to read case law on the highway, and you're not going to pull out a pamphlet to recite lines to an officer. You're going to shut your mouth, push the button, and let an attorney do the talking. We recommend that you never hand over your phone and hold it up for the officer to see so they can be face-to-face with our staff attorneys. This ensures the officer's face is recorded during the stop. But if an officer does gain control of your phone and tries to shut it down, not only can it be considered a First and Fourth Amendment violation, but now they've interfered with your right to have an attorney present during questioning. And the best part is that they can't end the call or stop the recording without your personalized PIN code. All incident support sessions will be recorded by our legal staff and stored within our secure cloud-based archive. You can upload your documents for quick access and allow your legal support to notify the officer of any health conditions you may have, or if you have a concealed carry permit and you happen to be in a state that requires you to notify. Well, let's say you want somebody to know that you've requested legal support when you're stopped by the police. Add an emergency contact in the app, and they will receive an email or text alert anytime you request service. The notification will tell them what type of incident you've requested help with, a timestamp, and a geolocation map link. Our future plans include post-incident legal referral support, where our staff attorneys may recommend post-incident follow-up with a local attorney if warranted for civil rights violations, criminal representation needs after a citation or an arrest, or even for an accident resulting in personal injury.
All right.
Well, Gary, I got to say I endorse this. I think it's a good idea. I mean, that everyone should have access to legal representation at the touch of a button. I think that's fabulous. I've had my share of encounters with the law and the courts, and I can only say that the man who represents himself in a legal action has a fool for a client, and I stand here as Exhibit A, because if I had known more about the law, if I really were trained in the law, I could have not been savage when all the evidence and the law was on my side, but courtroom procedure was not. And I was taken apart completely wrongly, in my opinion. I mean, I've gone as far as the Supreme Court with my appeals, and I'm not done fighting yet, but I can just tell you, having legal representation can make a huge benefit and qualitative and quantitative impact on your life. It can actually wind up saving you a lot of time, effort, and money, even though it's going to cost a bit out of pocket. I actually, therefore, think this is a good innovation and is one of the better uses a person could make of their cell phone. So I'm here to say I like it. I endorse it. Give it a thought.
All right. This is a very short clip, and you're going to have to look very close. It's a bird flying through the Twin Towers.
Those gashes were artificially contrived. They were not caused by the impact of any plane. If you notice that the vision of the facade of the North Tower, which of course is identifiable by its antenna, you had chunks of steel that were hanging outward when they ought to have been bent inward had a plane actually caused the impact. It appears a gelatin group. These were Israeli art students. They were actually, in my opinion, Mossad. 200 of them came in with approval from, guess who, the CIA. We have photographs of them. They made themselves at home in the Twin Towers. We have photographs of them with boxes and boxes of fuse holders. I think those fuse holders were used to plant explosive to blow out those images when the time was right, when we saw what we thought were real planes impacting with the buildings, because as Donald Trump observed the day after, the builders who constructed the Twin Towers were working for him now, in that there was no way that airplanes could have brought those buildings down. In fact, based upon my research, and as the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005, I brought together hundreds of experts, pilots, physicists, engineers, mechanical, civil, electrical, structural, aeronautical. Those buildings were so robust that any real plane would have crumbled external to the building, and most of its parts would have fallen to the ground. Body seats, luggage, wing, tail, the engines, which are virtually indestructible, well, yeah, could have entered the buildings, but not for the rest of the planes. But that didn't happen. Instead, we have these artificial cookie-cutter cutouts, which have been likened to the Wile E. Coyote cartoons, where he runs through a boulder, leaving a perfect image of him. it's on a similar angle. This is Hollywood coming to Washington, D.C. to perpetrate fraud on the American people. I encourage you to check it out. I've dealt with this extensively in many, many places. I recommend especially going to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and just do a search on my 9/11 presentations, including one I did with Jeremy Neal of South Africa, where he calls his show Germ with a J, Germ Warfare. Jim Fetzer on the 9/11 cover-up. That'll be a good place to start. You need to understand what's going on here because we're being played by our government again and again, and it extends to this very day with a lot of nonsense we're being given about Hamas, for example, committing rapes for which the evidence has simply disappeared. Surprise, surprise. And where they're suppressing the fact that these Israeli women who are being released by Hamas are very grateful for the way they've been treated, and would they even go out of their way to edit and change what they said to make it sound as though they'd been abused in the process. The inhumane parties here are on the other side. The Palestinians are people with a great dignity. They're very compassionate, highly intelligent, very empathetic. The Israelis, by comparison, are brutes. They're sadistic. They are displaying untold savagery in this genocide of the Palestinian people, one of the greatest and most traumatic incidents of world history taking place before our very eyes now. And no one's doing anything about it. Gary, I'm nauseated at the thought, but that's a situation we're in today, and much of it is because of the propaganda that is being used to manipulate our minds. Alex Jones got it right. We talked about info wars, the battle for our minds. Spot on, Alex. And let me add, he's just done an interview with Tucker Carlson that everyone needs to check out and watch. Thanks for this, Gary. Very interesting for reasons other than the bird that was artfully making its way around the buildings.
All right. Now, this is a six-minute clip, and this should take us pretty much to the end of the show, maybe a few time for one more, but I just couldn't clip it. It was too interesting to me.
Identity confirmed. Mateo Torres, you are under arrest. Please put these on.
Why? I didn't do nothing. I'm just going to work.
Failure to comply will result in the use of non-lethal force. Final warning.
Please place your personal items into the box.
This is a mistake. Can I speak to a human? Human?
Please proceed to cell block C-14. Welcome to Correct-A-Corp. We at Correct-A-Corp Detention Facility want to make your stay the best it can be.
No, thank you. I want to speak to a lawyer.
Hi, I'm Ben Saperstein.
And I am Halo. Do not worry, we are here to help.
Public defender.
Please wait.
There is an 89.5% chance you will be found guilty.
Guilty of what?
This ruling will likely carry a sentence of 45 to 47 years in prison. I recommend that you plead guilty. A plea bargain may result in a lesser punishment of 5 to 7 years.
Plead guilty to what?
Are you sure you want to plead guilty?
No.
To confirm your decision.
No, I'm not guilty.
Are you sure you want to plead not guilty?
I didn't do anything.
I'm sorry. I didn't get that. Please try again.
I want to speak to a human being.
Would you like to place a call?
Yes.
Who would you like to call?
The chief of police. The human one.
Please accept the terms and conditions in order to place your outgoing...
Fine. Thank you for calling the LAPD. A human representative will be with you shortly. Please hold.
Hey, what does that mean?
You authorized the transfer of funds from your bank to place a call to...
The chief of police. The human one.
At $3 per minute for 114 minutes.
What? You never said that.
Are you going to sleep? Would you like the lights to be turned off for a more comfortable sleep?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You have insufficient funds to turn off the lights.
Finding you have a lot of time on your hands? Learn a trade. Earn an hourly wage.
To take control of your life, say handmade today.
Handmade.
There you are. I've been trying to call you.
Hi,
Where are you? Did you get a new apartment?
No, I'm in jail.
Dios mío.
Mama, we don't have much time. It costs money to talk.
Mateo. He's calling from jail.
Jail?
There's been a mistake. I need money for a defense lawyer. $10,000.
$10,000?
I pay back somehow. I just need it. Otherwise, I'm gonna die here.
You have insufficient funds.
Oh, fuck!
Mateo Torres, please enter a plea for your trial.
It hasn't even
looks
been...
like your trial is ready. I strongly recommend you plead guilty. A plea deal will result in a lesser punishment of 5 to 7 years. Please say, I plead guilty to accept.
Wait!
Please state your plea.
Wait!
Sorry, I didn't get that. Do you want to enter a guilty plea? Please say, I plead guilty to accept.
I plead guilty.
Say yes to confirm your guilty plea.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'm sorry, did you say yes? Please say yes to confirm.
No, not guilty! Not guilty!
Ready to win.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Torres. I'm looking through your file, and frankly, it doesn't look good. I strongly suggest you take the plea deal that they've offered you.
But I didn't do anything.
Mr. Torres. Damn it, not again.
What?
Son, stay there. Just wait.
No.
We hope you enjoyed your stay. Please exit the room to start the discharge process. Hi, Mateo. This is Anna.
Mommy.
This is your second day of work. You've missed without notice.
Damn, like mommy.
You got a loan. We're sending you the money.
$35. Just wanted to let you know you're fired. All of us here at Handmade hope this message finds you well. We wanted to remind you that Handmade is hiring. We offer you the opportunity to work from the comfort of your own charge.
All right, Dr. Fez, what do you think about that one? A little futuristic.
Very scary, but I think that's a real insight as to what may lie ahead. All this automation of AI has been used in too many contexts. You must understand I've done a huge amount of work in this area. I founded an international journal called Minds and Machines. What was ironic about that is that most of the articles we published after peer review were in defense of the computational model of the mind that assumes that human minds working in the same fashion as computers, whereas I'm a leading critic of that position, because the strings of Marx that are processed by computers have no meaning for those machines. They're simply acting in accordance with programs based upon algorithms to produce the right causal output if the system is working properly. But because none of them mean anything for anything, these AI machines are mindless. They have no emotion. They have no affect. They have no morality, no sense of decency. We're getting reports now that the Israeli approach to the Palestinians is cold, calculating, and lacking any sense of decency. That tells me, Gary, it's been modeled by a machine. They've had in all the data and wanted to know what the computer would recommend as the most ruthlessly efficient way to kill as many people as possible in the shortest possible time. That's what's taking place in Gaza now. This little clip, though it's fanciful, I'm afraid is all too telling of what the future may hold in a society run by machines. Gary, thanks for putting it up. Really profound, disturbing, and provocative. Thank you.
All right. This has been Inconvenient Truths, number 59, and we'll see you next week for our Big 6-0. Thanks again, Dr. Fetzer.
My pleasure, Gary.
All right. See you next week.